Good evening. Great to see you back tonight. Appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together. Before we get into the lesson, I wanted to ask one favor from you. I begin a meeting at the Bethel Church of Christ in Martin, Tennessee on Sunday. And so if you will would say a prayer for that endeavor, I would greatly appreciate that. All of you know Andy for the most part, Andy Brewer that preaches over at Phillips Street. His brother Brad is the one who preaches at Bethel. And so a great congregation there, a bunch of good folks there. And so if you'd say a prayer for that endeavor, I would greatly appreciate that. This evening we want to look at the topic of finding our motivation. As I said as we were closing out services this morning, in anything that we seek to do in life, if we're going to be successful at it, we have to find the proper motivation. I don't care if it's losing weight and trying to get into shape, if it's trying to be successful in a career endeavor, even if it's trying to be faithful to the Lord, we have to have the proper motivation if we are going to succeed. And tonight, I want us to take a few moments to look at a passage in the book of 1 Thessalonians. As Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica, in the first three verses, we find him referencing three things that should motivate the Thessalonians to be faithful to God. And I think if we will internalize these three things, I think it will help us to be more faithful as well. With each one of these points, I'm going to suggest to you a chapter to read tonight. When you go home, it'll be three chapters in all. It'll take about 15 minutes. But I want you to read these three chapters. And when you read each one of these chapters, think about the point that we're going to look at. And let's let these three things motivate us to do all we can for the cause of Christ. Number one tonight, what do we need to be motivated by? Number one, we need to be motivated by faith. We need to be motivated by faith. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 3, Paul says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith." These were people whose faith inspired their work. The inward to the outward. Notice what he says. He says that he remembered their work, but where did their work spring from? Where did it come from? He said that it was a work of faith. Their faith in God was what motivated them to do things for the cause of Christ. Here's your homework assignment. Read through Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we refer to it as the faith chapter. We have, throughout the course of this year, spent time at different points looking at different individuals who are highlighted in that chapter, and notice what these great men did. And as you look through those chapters, we see these people who did extraordinary things for the cause of God. We see individuals who survived and who did things despite dire circumstances. And how were they able to do that? What motivated them? Well, you'll see these two words at the beginning as it sets off each individual: by faith. It was their faith that motivated them. It was their faith that was the driving force behind them, that pushed them forward to do all that they could for the cause of Christ. Remember, we've said many times, faith in God, it is believing, it is trusting, and it is acting. We talked about in our youth class, we've been looking at the topic of faith for the past few weeks, and we've been talking about how faith encompasses all three of those things. It's a believing. There's part of it that involves knowing who God is, but then there's a trusting. When we know who God is, it causes us to trust Him. And then also included in faith, there's always that action part. By faith, someone did something. That's what you see over and over in Hebrews chapter 11. And it's no wonder that Paul refers here to their work, an action of faith. Their faith was motivating them. If we truly believe that God is the creator of it all, if we truly believe that Jesus is His only begotten Son, if we believe that they sacrificed so much for our salvation, our faith in them should motivate us. You know, we said this morning that we wanted to look at some motivations tonight, because while a fear of hell can be a motivator, you know, fear is a temporary motivator. It's not normally a permanent motivator. You take someone who has a health scare. Maybe they have some type of blockage. Of course, they go in, they stent it, everything's fine. But they're told, hey, you need to change your lifestyle. Many times what happens? for a few months, that person changes their lifestyle, doesn't it? I mean, it's salads and whatever a rabbit eats, that's what they're eating. You know, that why? Because they're scared. But as the months pass on, what happens to that fear? That fear begins to dissipate. And what normally happens? We go back to McDonald's. That's just the way that it works. Fear is a temporary motivator. And so we have to move past fear as a motivator to some things that are more substantial. Friends, faith is more substantial. Believing in God, trusting in Him, and acting for Him. Friends, that faith, that can be a primary motivator for us to serve Him. What else should motivate us? We're motivated by faith, but also number two, I would suggest to you that we're motivated by love. Back to our verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Why were they working? Why were they doing the things that they were doing? Because of their love for God and their love for the brethren. John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, what? Keep my commandments." What was he saying? He was saying, if you truly love me, then that love will motivate you to keep my commandments. That love will motivate you to follow me faithfully. We understand this in just purely in a physical realm. Why do we do the things we do for our spouses? Why do we do the things we do for our children? For our spouse's husband, because we're scared of what our wives will do to us if we don't. No, that's not it. Because we love them. We want to help them. We want to be there for them. The same way with our children, with our friends, with others. We understand that concept that when we love someone, then we act upon that love, correct? How much more for Christ then? How much more for God? Sometimes if we're not careful, we can find ourselves just going through the motions. And our hearts are not in it. I'm ashamed to say that there have been times in my life when I've gone through an entire worship service and left, and I could not tell you one song we sang. Could not tell you one thing that was mentioned. And if you're being honest with yourself, there have probably been times in your life that you could say the exact same thing. Those times when our hearts weren't in it, we were just going through the motions. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves kind of set in that cruise control. And we're never really worshiping God. And we're not serving Him. What will help to break us out of that? A love for Him. Paul talks about this importance of being motivated by love of God. And we see that homework assignment number two, 1 Corinthians 13. All right, 1 Corinthians 13, the great chapter on love. Many of you can probably almost quote the chapter. Beginning in verse 1, though, Paul talks about why it's so important to be motivated by love. He says, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." Paul says, though I can use all this flowery speech, I can speak with the language that the angels use. He says, if it's not motivated by love, you know what it is? It's a bunch of noise. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. I mean, think about the level of faith that he's talking about here. He's talking about a miraculous level of faith. I think we get that. But he said, I have faith that I could, my faith is so strong that I could say to a mountain, move, and the mountain moves. He says, you know, we would look at that and be like, wow. He says, but if I don't have love, it doesn't matter. In verse 3, and though I bestow all my gifts to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. What are our actions motivated by? As we're working for Christ, as we're seeking to help those who are in need, love has to be one of those primary motivators. It has to be what's driving us if we're going to be pleasing to God. Paul says here, I can do a lot of great things, but if I'm not doing them because of my love for God and my love of the brethren, none of it's going to matter. What do we need to motivate us? Well, I would suggest we need to be motivated by faith. We need to be motivated by love. And then finally, number three tonight, we need to be motivated by hope. We need to be motivated by hope. Going back to verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. You think about, as Paul writes this to the church at Thessalonica, the Thessalonians were under intense persecution. They were facing a lot of difficulties. You go back to Acts chapter 17, which is when the church at Thessalonica was founded, when it began, and you see the church began under intense persecution. Paul is basically, not long after getting the church going, is basically ran out of town by the Judaizers. And so Paul has to leave. And just because Paul left, that doesn't mean everybody said, okay, we'll calm down now. They said, we can't get Paul, we'll get y'all. And as a result, they continue to intensely persecute these Christians. What was it that motivated them to continue going through all of that? Their hope. Notice what he says, your patience of hope. Their patience in the midst of all of this persecution was being motivated by their hope for that home in heaven. That's what we're not talking about, any hope. We're talking about that hope of heaven. That hope of that eternal home. And remember, when we talk about hope in the Bible, we're not talking about the way many times we use that word hope today. I hope someone in here will give me $100,000. Alright? When I use the word hope like that, is the way we use it a lot of times, what are we basically saying? We're talking about wishful thinking. I wish someone would do that, right? That's not biblical hope. That's not what we see in the Bible when we talk about hope. The idea of hope in the Bible, and I've already seen some of you mouth this as I've been talking. You already know what we're talking about. It's two things put together. It's desire plus expectation. I have a desire for heaven. But biblically speaking, when I talk about hope, I also have an expectation of that being my home if I'm faithful. And so when we talk about a hope of heaven, we're not talking about I wish to go to heaven. We're talking about I desire to go there. And in fact, if I'm faithful to God, I expect to go there. I've told you before, there's not a soul who's going to open their eyes, as we see the rich man doing when he lifted up his eyes. No faithful Christian is going to lift up his eyes and say, oh, I made it to heaven. Didn't know that was going to happen. That's not the way it's going to work. If I lift up my eyes and I'm in heaven, it's going to be because I worked to get there. Because I was faithful to God, and in His grace and His mercy, He brought me there. But it's not going to be by accident. It's going to be because I had desire. I had the expectation, because my patience through all the things that this world throws at us was motivated by my hope. And Titus 1, 1 and 2, Paul writes, Paul, a bondservant of God and of the apostle Jesus Christ, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Paul says, my hope is anchored in the truthfulness of God. And you want to talk about anchoring something into something. When our hope is grounded in the truthfulness of God, friends, it's not going anywhere. Thinking about that anchor made me think of Hebrews 6 and verse 19. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. We have that hope as an anchor that can ground us during the storms of life, can help us to keep from drifting. We have to allow that hope to motivate us. Third homework assignment. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, and the reason I picked that chapter is for the sheer fact of it talks about that eternal home. John gets a glimpse of what that new Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth, what it's going to look like. And brethren, it is glorious. Despite the beauty of what is depicted there, verse 4 has always been the one that's jumped out at me. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What more could you hope for? The very God of heaven being in His presence. Friends, we have three great things to motivate us. We need to be motivated by faith. A faith in the God of heaven. The one who loved us so much that he sent his son. The son who gave his life. We need to be motivated by our love for them. They gave their all for us. We should be willing and love them so much that we'll give our all for them. And we should be motivated by hope. That hope of heaven that we have awaiting for us when this life ends. If we'll allow those three things to permeate our lives, oh, brethren, there's nothing that can stop us. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, why not take that step? Do you love God? If you do you believe in Him? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you willing to turn from sin and repentance, to confess that belief, to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Friend, if you do that, you can have that hope of eternal life that God promised for those who are faithful. Maybe you've done all those things. You are a Christian, but you've gone away from Him. Maybe you realize, this, you know what, I haven't had the proper motivation. I haven't been living like I should. Change that tonight. Make a mental decision tonight. Go home, read those three chapters for me, and then make the mental decision. I'm going to live my life for God no matter what. You know, as I look out at this crowd, there are people that are here tonight that you're stronger now, whether you realize it or not, I can tell the difference. You're stronger now than you were a year ago, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for that. But don't stop. Let's all cross the finish line together. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd encourage you to do so right now. As together we stand.